Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Group Answers. My name is Chris, and I am here with my co-host, Brian Daniel.
Hello, Chris.
It's good to see you, as always, and our special co-host who drops in occasionally, Mr. Michael Kelly.
Chris.
Brian.
Chris.
That's like us. That's like here. Us. You remember that? Yeah. Doctor, yes.
It's always fun to have all of us in the room, but we were talking before we went on air. It's especially fun to have Director Kelly because he comes in and kind of takes off his director hat.
Yeah, he comes in hot.
He's like flowing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Dropping bombs even before we get on air.
So. Today it was rap lyrics. I mean, it would surprise a lot of people, I know, but it was.
I've never heard anybody beatbox better than Michael Kelly.
They must do that in Texas.
Correct. See, I still got it.
Yeah,
still got it going on.
There was a lot of intonation there, which is great for seven letters, you know.
Haven't turned that faucet off yet, guys.
Only in the
panhandle. You can't stop it. You can only hope to contain it.
Yep.
Yeah. Only in the panhandle of Texas, because I grew up in Houston, and I can't beatbox.
Oh, the irony.
I know. But this is going to be a fun topic today. We're going to talk about summer.
Say it. Summer. Summertime.
Do you guys love summer? I love it. Do you guys love it?
I do not.
Yes.
I will confess.
The man does not.
Is it the heat?
Summer.
I mean, what is it?
No, it's totally the heat. Yeah. Unquestionably. I just don't like being hot.
Yeah.
I would far prefer being cold. Because you can always put more stuff on. There's only so much you can take off.
Well said, Michael.
So I just
and with
I don't
that
like,
mental picture.
Yeah, right.
That's right. That's a great way to start.
Yeah. So I don't like the hot. I mean, there are things obviously about the summer that everybody enjoys, but it is my kids would tell you that it is my least favorite season.
See, I don't like the hot either, especially where we live, because it gets super, super hot. Although I've lived in hotter places, Charleston, the humidity.
Well, in Houston,
just,
Houston too, right?
Had to
Houston,
be hotter.
It just swallows you in the summer. So you don't go outside during the summer. But Nashville gets hot, but it's not sweltering hot. But I do love the kind of laid backness.
Yeah.
The activities seems like
light.
It's not as much of
light
a rush.
Light is what I like. If I could have long winter days, I'd be fine. But spring forward is like an unofficial holiday for me.
So you like spring the best?
Well, yeah, I like it all. I just don't like short days and darkness. That's my problem. So when I say I look forward to summer, it's not really the heat. I mean, you do tend to take vacations in the summer, but where we are in life, we can do that anytime. It's the short, dark days in winter, not the cold that is hard for me.
See, I love...
So yeah, I'm looking forward to summer.
I would say my favorite season, honestly, is fall. I like spring, but I have allergies. And so it just brings on the allergies. And it's just, although it's a beautiful time of the year, but fall, you're kind of getting the leaves dropping and all that stuff. But then the cold. And then January, February, I just want to go live in Mexico. And it's just, it's a horrible time of the year.
Those are a couple of tough months.
We should just
here.
Cut those months out. So let's segue into our topic. We want to talk about what do you do with summer? You know, it obviously is a different rhythm of life. And it's a different rhythm when it comes to your family. It's a different rhythm when it comes to your group. I mean, people, you know, we hinted about vacations, and that tends to be, especially with people with kids, young kids. I'm getting to the stage where Brian is, where we don't necessarily have to do it in the summer. But, you know, that's a natural rhythm for a lot of people. Michael, you're in that. So are you guys doing a big family vacation this summer?
Well, we actually are. The biggest one we've done in a long time. So this summer is both my 40th birthday. And it's our 20th wedding anniversary. So we're doing the Europe thing, which we've never done before. So we're going to do London and Paris. And we're really excited about that.
When?
Early July.
Man, that's
so you're taking the whole family to Europe?
Yeah.
How cool.
It's very Griswold-esque, I have been told. So we'll see how it works out. But yeah, we're super excited about it.
That's the way to do it, though. You know, there's lots of people that try and hit so many cities in so many days. I think to go and really devote time to two places is a cool way to do it.
That's what we thought, too. That's what we thought, too. And our kids, you know, one of our goals for our kids is we would like for them to have international experiences when they're growing up so that they're comfortable in being in different parts of the world. But we haven't done that yet. This is sort of our first step into that territory. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that there's two really more, you know, friendly cities to do that for someone that was born and raised in North America to just sort of venture out a little bit before we start venturing out more.
That's fun. So are you going to get into the infinite, the circle where they, you know, in Griswolds go to Europe.
Big Ben Parliament.
European vacation. Yeah.
Man, I hope not.
And they can't get out of it, and then they end up hitting Eric Idle, who's riding a bike.
I sincerely Classic. Hope not. But we are, I mean, we're going to do all kinds of stuff. They are excited just to listen to the people talk. They think it will be awesome. So yeah, man, it's going to be great. It'll be a summer to remember.
We're doing one, not quite as fun. My in-laws are celebrating their 50th anniversary. So we're going to gather with my wife's family and go to the beach in Alabama/Florida, whatever that is down there. And it'll be fun, the whole family. But now I'm feeling bad about my vacation since I'm not going to Europe.
Sorry about that.
Jeez. Brian, you guys do anything?
You know, the days of the family vacation are kind of over for us just because of the way we're spread out. So this fall, we're going to go out to California, to Northern California, and meet my oldest daughter. Hmm. And then in 2020, my youngest daughter is on assignment in Rome. So I think we're going to try and go, not Georgia, but Italy.
There you go.
Try and get over there and spend some time
really
with her.
I heard they're really different, Rome, Georgia, and Rome, Italy.
So. Well, I could not, at least by personal experience, I couldn't react to that with any credibility.
You just have to find out.
It's only hearsay.
Yeah.
I have been to Rome, Georgia. I have not been to Rome, Italy. But based on what people say, they are pretty different.
What I've read in books.
That's right.
It seems very different.
What I've seen in pictures.
Yeah. My daughter's actually, my oldest one, is going to study abroad over in England in the spring.
Yeah, that's what Skylar's doing.
And wants us to come to that. So we may do that next
year.
I've never been, so I'm looking forward to it. All right. So obviously summer creates, you know, it's fun, but it also creates issues. And Michael wrote an article, which are always great, but it's called Dads Don't Waste Your Summer, and it was posted last year. But in it, Michael, you kind of use the premise of going on the offense and not the defense when it comes to summer. Kind of, what did you mean by that?
Right, sure. Well, I did mean it for dads, obviously, like the title says, but I think it's applicable in the context of groups too. So the idea is, you know, you can either choose to be proactive, to be forward-facing in the way that you approach summer, or you can just let summer happen to you. And a lot of times that's what we do. We just sort of let it happen.
Exhale.
Yeah, because everybody's tired. It's been a long year. And so you just sort of are there, and it's a season of leisure rather than making the most of it. Summer presents, I think, in families but also in groups, some real significant opportunities for growth, even in the midst of that great exhale that happens. And the text that I tried to bring out in the article was this text that Paul writes about in Ephesians chapter 5. And in the book of Ephesians, in that chapter, he's saying to the church at Ephesus, you should be careful in the way that you walk. And he says, you should walk wisely, don't walk unwisely, and you've got to make the best use of the time. Take advantage of every opportunity. So he says you should walk carefully. Now, sometimes as Christians, we think that the way a Christian walks carefully means walking defensively. Mm. So you've got to be careful, you know, be careful little feet where you go, and be careful little eyes what you see. There's a sense of truth of that. We need to be guarded about some of those things. But at least in this context, Paul's not advocating for a defensive kind of carefulness. He's advocating for an offensive kind of carefulness. So the idea is not that you're sort of tiptoeing through the summer, hoping you don't mess anything up. It's that you recognize that the Lord is constantly at work around you. And so there's all these opportunities to join him in his work. And there's all these opportunities to see what he's doing both in and through you, but you've got to be looking for them. So Paul is advocating for a sense of heightened awareness for opportunities for the kingdom. That's what I think we can have walking into the summer in the context of our group, is not a sort of a lazy, leisure-filled approach, but a recognition that the work of God doesn't shut down seasonally, right? We can actually be proactive and pray for and seek a heightened sense of awareness for unique opportunities that the summer brings to us.
Yeah. It's interesting that summer actually gives you some margin to be more proactive.
Totally.
There's some things that you actually don't have time for, can't fit them in with your family and with your group during other seasons, that the summer gives you that. And what you're saying is a lot of times is we just take that off.
Yeah. For a lot of churches, I think the natural rhythm, especially if they do small groups, the rhythm is, you know, you're gonna do your group for maybe 35 to 40 weeks out of the year. You're gonna take 3 or 4 weeks off during the Christmas season, and then basically when you get to mid-May, you'll have a party, and then you'll shut down until Labor Day or so, and then you're just sort of there. So I actually like that rhythm, because I think our whole lives are meant to be built around the rhythm of work and rest and work and rest. But we shouldn't confuse rest with laziness. Mm-hmm. It's a good opportunity for group leaders to rest, because doing a group for 52 weeks out of the year, my goodness, that's hard. Yep. It makes you really, really tired. So you need that rhythm of work and rest. But we've also got to help our people understand that rest is not equated to leisure, mm-hmm. and it's not equated to laziness. Rest is an opportunity to accentuate some of the other aspects of group life that may have fallen away during the pace of the rest of the year. And a lot of those things are relational in nature.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely resonate with the just the work that it takes to especially host a group. So if you host a group. I mean, our group meets weekly, Wednesday nights. You know, there's a lot that goes into that. And so I don't think that we're advocating that you still meet every single week through the summer, that you host a Bible study. But there are some things that you can do as a group to take advantage of that rest period and be offensive. And I think one of them is just plan ahead. Just think through now. It's May. So, you know, obviously Memorial Day is coming, and I kind of look at that as the beginning of the summer season. You know, that's when people start taking vacations. So think through your group schedule, and you may not meet every week, and I don't even know that it's healthy to try to meet every week, because you're going to get pretty frustrated. You're fighting culture. You're going to have a lot of people that are missing because of vacations. But what are some other ways that you can connect and still be active with your group and plan them out? So you're not every week during the summer going, okay, who's around this week? What can we do? You know, think through some different things that you can do through the summer that keeps your group connected, because ultimately your group should be looked at as a family and not a function. And if your group is a function, then you can take
That's
3 months
good language,
off
yeah.
and not do anything, because you can just come back to it. Whereas if you look at it as a family, I don't take 3 months off from my family. You know, I just don't do that. We still gather now. We may gather in different ways. You know, we may do a vacation together in the summer that we don't normally do, things like that. But I'm still going to be a family with my group. So I think planning ahead is definitely important.
I agree with you, man. It's not going to happen by accident, right? I love the language of family, not function. The same opposite is true from an opposite perspective. You know, your family, just by the nature of proximity, you're going to spend time with them. But just like with your group, you know, you ought to have a plan for the way that you're engaging your family during the summer, or it's just going to slip away. I think as you're making that plan for your group, one of the important things in planning is to be realistic about it. I appreciate that you said it's probably not advisable even to think about meeting every week. It's certainly not practical. And I think as a group leader, one of the things you have to recognize is, look, we're not going to get 100% attendance on these things that we're doing. We're just not. It's not going to happen during the summer. So be realistic. But that shouldn't be an excuse for not doing anything. And the further out you can get and just put it on the top of people's minds, actually calendar an opportunity for it, the better, you know, the better attended it'll be. There's more participation that you'll have.
Yeah. You know, training your volunteers and leaders is important, but do you ever feel like you don't know where to start? That's why Lifeway Leadership developed Ministry Grid. With Ministry Grid's library of over 3,000 training videos, the work has been done for you, and you'll be able to train everyone in your church. And this is training you can trust. Each Ministry Grid video features an experienced ministry leader who has been where you are now. You can customize any training by adding videos, PDFs, YouTube videos, and more. And now, Ministry Grid has one plan with one price that gives you unlimited access to train your entire church. Just go to ministrygrid.com to learn more. Once again, that is ministrygrid.com. One of the points that you made actually in your article, and this was for families, but reinforce the family discipline of church attendance.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point also for your small group, to just reinforce that we're going to engage and we're going to stay engaged as a group, and hopefully you're going to stay engaged with your church, with attending Sunday services and being a part of that when you're not on vacation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just staying engaged. Another thing that is important is that you continue to disciple. You know, we're obviously not going to meet every single week. We may not be doing a study together, but I think there are ways that you can continue to disciple your group members even if you're not meeting every week. You can do something like an online study. Use a tool like smallgroup.com where you can choose a video where you don't have to be together to discuss it. Maybe you build like a Facebook page or, you know, some kind of texting app where you can discuss the study but watch it on your own time. Also, I think the summer is a good time to meet individually with some group members outside of the group time. You know, get together for coffee.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's one of the avenues for discipleship that there's an opportunity for it to be heightened during summer, is that discipleship isn't happening in particular through this group of people, but the fact that it's happening one-on-one. Summer provides a really unique opportunity to do that. So if you're a group leader and you've got 12 people in your group, I don't think it's unreasonable, you know, for you to try and set up, you know, maybe male on male, female on female, depending on if you're a man or a woman, but to set up 6 appointments throughout the summer of just an opportunity to get to know somebody better. That's just, it's 6 lunches, 6 mm-hmm. lunches over the course of 2 or 3 months.
Yep.
And 2, just the idea of continuing to disciple, Chris, one of the things, there is a natural rhythm, and Michael alludes to it with the rest, work, that's a part of who we are. Jeremiah 6 says, stand at the ancient road, stand at the path, choose the ancient road, and there you will find rest. And there's an old hymn that refers to Scripture being rest. So I would say in terms of that leading, and in Michael's article, he says, lead your family to set goals for the summer rather than let the seasons pass you by. In group life, I think it's important for the group leader to be encouraging in this way, that in this natural season of exhale or rest, that time is put to maybe a more disciplined approach to Scripture reading and spending time in the Word.
Yep, that's good. It's funny, I'm thinking about this because we're doing the Making Space study in my group, and tonight we're doing the session on rest and just the different thought of what rest is. It's not just being lazy.
Or watching television. There's things, and those are... I've talked about it before. We've talked about it on the show, just the idea of the man cave and this idea of of setting yourself apart and just doing, and most of the time that means watching sports or something.
Right.
Which I think that's the last thing most men need to do is to recuse themselves into a room they call a man cave. So, I think we've got a very poor understanding of what rest is culturally these days.
Yep. Another point, Michael, that you made on your article that I think works for groups as well is you said plan specific and intentional outings for each of your kids. And with your group, summer is a great time to just plan fun events. Mm-hmm. Just do something out of the normal. You know, it's not a Bible study. My group, where I live, we live like two blocks from the local baseball team, minor league baseball team. And so we'll go to a baseball game or two during the summer. And that's just fun for our group, or do, you know, a picnic or just something fun. But the important thing is plan that out in advance. Talk about it in May. You know, in June, we're going to do something fun. July, we're going to do something fun. August, we're going to do something. So kind of pitch it, see what ideas they have. They might have some cool things to do, but just do fun things during the summer.
Man, it's a great opportunity to do that. I love that you guys live so close to that baseball park. I think that's a great example of it. Everybody, of course, doesn't have, you know, that type of proximity, but I do think it's a good idea to look for something that is close to home. You know, even if it's just a park. Some of the best experiences we've had in the summer with our groups have been just everybody take your kids to the park for a couple of hours, and we'll throw four or five frisbees and balls out there in the middle of the field and let the chaos happen. And it's just a neat time because the days are longer, like you say. It's a good chance to just be together and hang out with one another.
And the family piece really comes into play when you're doing fun things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is one of those moments in the life of a group, which are precious few. It's one of those moments where the kids being there is not a frustrating experience or a challenge to be dealt with.
That's a very good point.
It's one of those moments where it's, yes, we are now all really together if we take advantage of it.
Meals, movies, coffee, ice cream,
I thought
desserts.
You were going to go with all M's. That was going to be awesome.
But meals, those are movies. Real easy things. Yeah. That I would say 99% of the population doesn't live within walking distance of a baseball team.
As they should. But they should.
There's no doubt about that. And minor league is cheap too. I mean, that's an affordable
$9
one. I mean,
if it's
a major league, it's a different story. Yeah. But there are so many things that you can do very easily that are just touch points in group life in the summer.
Yeah.
Particularly like patio seating in the evenings.
Yeah. There's
unless
something
it's July.
Around you.
Yeah. Even August, or at least around here. It's still rough out there.
There's something around you. All right, and then the last point that I think groups can really take advantage of is do something missional. You know, do a service project. My church organizes something every single summer where groups can kind of go and partner with organizations around the city and do something. But again, back to that margin, a lot of times during the school year, there's just not a lot of margin to do something, you know, to go out for 3 hours on a Saturday or something. But during the summer, you usually have that margin. So look for a way that you can serve your community, serve your church, maybe go on a missions trip. I've had groups before actually choose, you know, to go to like Haiti or Honduras or something like that together during the summer. So there's lots of opportunities to affect the community around us or the world around us as a group during the summer.
One other suggestion on that, too, is, you know, I have picked this up a little bit from my brother and sister-in-law who live back in Texas, but for years on their cul-de-sac, they have hosted a Memorial Day breakfast every year.
Oh, that's cool.
This is a small town, but they'll have, you know, throughout the 4 or 5 hours of the morning, they'll have 200 or 300 people that cycle through there. And it is just glorious mayhem. Summer provides a really neat opportunity to do something like that. We're going to try to do something like that in our neighborhood this year, I think. To where we will, you know, we'll seed the breakfast with people from our church and our faith community, but then just, you know, we'll hand out some flyers around the neighborhood and just say, hey, stop by and eat some cinnamon rolls or something on this day. Hardly anybody's working. It's a good chance to do that. So think about that too. It's still a good opportunity to reach out and get to know neighbors and practice hospitality.
That's a great idea. I have a friend at our church that they live in a cul-de-sac, and one of the things they love to do is just get a screen, a video projector.
Oh, like summer movie nights?
Yeah.
That's fun.
And show like a Pixar film, and they'll do it once every couple months, and they'll get a ton of people to their house to do that. Now, I couldn't do that at mine. We don't exactly have a yard.
Right.
But, you know, there are things that you can definitely – we have every year our neighborhood does like an Easter egg hunt. Where they pull people together, and there's different neighborhood opportunities that you can take advantage of. That's a great idea. All right. That is going to wrap it up for this episode, but hopefully you'll do something intentional with the summer months. You'll be on the offensive, not the defensive, and use that rest in a creative and proactive way when it comes to your family and your group. So, Brian, you want to tell us about a sister podcast that we want to point people to?
Michael, Chris, have you guys listened to the EST podcast yet?
Is that the one with Sam Rayner, Micah Fries, and Josh King?
It absolutely is.
All right.
It's also a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network, and they've recently covered topics like pastor approachability, holy sexuality, and Christian celebrity. Just look up EST on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.
And as we've pointed out before,
speaking of subscribe, right?
Well, it's yeah, not, but I was going to say it's not EST, which was a cult back in the 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
It stands for established churches. So if anybody has that question,
it's not EST.
Yeah.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Which early on in the show's history here, we weren't as sure as we are today.
I thought it was. The first time I think we pitched it as EST.
Well, speaking of subscribe, if you listen to us, you like the show, or even if that's only a moderate like, go to wherever you subscribe to Group Answers or listen to or download Group Answers and give us a rating. That stuff does make a difference, and we would love to hear back from you. We do read those comments and make changes accordingly. Right, Chris?
Yeah, we've said before we fired a co-host.
We did fire a co-host.
Because just didn't get popular comments.
That's right. No longer here.
Yep.
And it was not the easiest thing to do, but Chris, it was the right thing to do.
We missed Jeff, but sorry. All right. Thanks for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. It was for us. Hopefully it was for you. And do go subscribe, rate us, and we will see you next time for another awesome episode of Group Answers.